Chapter 10. So much for the village being safe. Before me laid the corpse of a large spotted hound, the equivalent of an oversized hyena mixed in with a bit of the liquors from Resident Evil. Though we had killed this one fairly easily, that was only because George had taken it by surprise. There was still a whole pack of these things out there, and they sounded angry and out for blood.
"If we don't get to the stables, we're done for,"
Batari repeated, as she gripped her spear sword tightly.
"How in Tambori's name are we getting to the stables?"
Ashanti hissed, as she aimed her bow into the darkness.
"The second we step away from the fire, the spotted hounds will run us down and tear us apart. They're way faster than we are, especially unmounted." "Draco Rex,"
the white-haired leader demanded.
"Didn't you say your people could see in the dark?"
"We can," I nodded. "But I'm having a hard time seeing anything right now."
"That's because they're stalking from the grass,"
Rikuri growled.
"Most of the animals on this island can see in the dark, so that's their way of getting around it."
Talk about survival of the fittest.
"We can't just sit here by the fire and wait, either,"
Zakuyu implored.
"If we leave the Mirax alone for too long, those things will devour them. If we leave the fire, they'll devour us,"
Rikuri huffed.
"What shall we do, Queen Mother?"
Zamwe asked her leader. Batari's eyes were wide with fear as they darted back and forth at different spots in the grassy fields. Her mouth was open as if she wished to speak, but all she was doing was trembling. The poor woman was at a loss for words, and I didn't blame her one bit. "You say spotted hounds hate fire, right?"
"Yes,"
Zakiyu nodded.
"It's the one thing that'll keep them away."
"Then we need to light them up. Tyrion?" The silver dragon looked down on me with puzzlement on his face. Then, once he realized what I was getting at, his expression turned into a deep frown.
"Why do I always have to be the distraction?"
the adolescent dragon huffed. "Because you're the only one of us that can literally breathe fire and fly. Use your flames to try and scare these bastards away, but be careful. If you get too close to the grass, you could light this whole frickin' savanna on fire."
"No pressure, though,"
Tyrion grumbled as he rose up higher into the sky.
"You know, when we finally have this wind dragon, I expect him to take over as the distraction every once in a while."
"Fair enough," I agreed, and then turned to Batari. "Tyrion is going to try and scare them off with his flames."
"But this is a time of drought,"
the white-haired Chero woman argued.
"If he's not careful, he could end up burning down our whole village."
"He'll be careful. Tyrion's got the best breath control of any dragon I know, and George can spew water if the flames get out of hand. Once Tyrion creates the distraction, you guys need to run for the stables, okay? I'm hoping he can scare the hounds all the way, but in the off chance something goes wrong, we may need your people as cavalry. Got it?"
"I understand."
Batari nodded.
"Chero warriors! When the dragon breathes fire, head for the stables!"
Tyrion flew up into the dark sky, out of sight from any of us. Then I saw a soft orange glow from above as he swooped back down. And once he was about 20 feet off the ground, Tyrion unleashed a blast of white-hot flames down onto the savannah. The spotted hounds yelped in terror when they saw the fire from the sky, and then we saw them begin to scurry away.
"Oh, it's working!"
I grinned.
"Go, ladies!"
Batari commanded, and then several of the Chero women took off into the night.
"Take that!"
Tyrion cackled as he unloaded his fire breath onto the spotted hounds.
"And that, and a little bit of this!"
Then I saw a figure pounce up into the sky behind the silver dragon.
"Tyrion!"
Honora gasped.
"Behind you!"
Tyrion tried to turn around, but all he could do was brace himself as the spotted hound smashed into his right wing. The dragon let out a wail of pain, and my heart sank into my stomach as a few more of the beasts leapt up into the sky.
"Tyrion!"
I gasped as the spotted hounds struck my friend.
"Yah!"
the silver dragon cried out in pain. Then I saw Tyrion's figure plummeting toward the ground.
"They're going to tear him to pieces!"
Nima cried out.
"Not on my watch, then, not..."
George growled as his massive body rocketed past me like a race car.
"Those acorn hoarders aren't going to lay a fang on my friend."
Out of the corner of my eye, I saw the grass rustle. At first, I readied my sword and prepared for an attack, but then I quickly realized what was going on. Some of the spotted hounds were going after the Chero women. "Ah, fuck. We need to cut those bastards off before the hounds get to them."
"We can't just leave George and Tyrion alone either,"
Mira argued.
"Then we'll have to split up. Mira, you take Kendara, Nima, and the twins with you and go help our dragons. The Kunag women and Honora, you come with me."
"What about me, Draco Rex?"
Jonas questioned. "You stay here and guard the remaining Chero women. They might be safe next to the fire, but they still need somebody to look out for them. Honora,
Stand by in case one of us is in need of a medic.
I take the task in grace, Benjamin.
The elder soothsayer nodded.
Me too.
Honora agreed. Then let's go, I announced to my friends. We don't have a second to waste. Lazan, Nadir, Honora, and I took off to the east, while the rest of my crew headed west. Though we all had superhuman speed, it was difficult to keep up with the footfalls of the spotted hounds as they tore through the grass. I could see the group of Chero warriors approaching fast, and I knew that if we didn't make a move soon, they were going to become spotted hound treats. So I came up with an idea. It was very, very stupid, but it might just buy the rhino women the time they needed to get to their mounds. I took a deep breath, flipped my sword out so the point was in front of me, and then leapt toward the running spotted hounds.
Ben!
Honora gasped when she saw me jump, but it was too late. My body slammed into the side of the furry beast and sent him rolling with a loud yelp, but the creature was back on its feet in an instant, with its ears tucked back and a perma-snarl that dripped gooey ropes of drool. Oh, all right, fucker, I panted as I held my sword at the ready. Come and get some. My soul seemed to leave my body when the other three animals came through the brush. Now I was surrounded in a circle by the spotted hounds, and there was no way in hell I was going to leave this place alive. Maybe I could kill one of them, two if I was lucky, but then the others would rip me into bloody little pieces in the most violent way possible. Still, the Draco Rex wasn't going down without a fight. Nadir's battle cry rang out as she sprang forth through the grass and landed next to me. Lazan repeated her leader's actions, and then the three of us were back to back to back, surrounded on all sides by spotted hounds. Well, at least we'll get to die together.
It's three against four, Ben,
Lazan reminded me.
Those are actually pretty good odds. Besides,
Nadir added,
those things don't look so tough.
She must have been looking at different animals than I was. The Kunag women bared their teeth and snarled at the hounds, who responded back with a growl of equal anger. Then they attacked. All four of the beasts charged forth at once, with their teeth bared and ready to kill. Lazan and Nadir both charged their attackers head-on, but that left me with a predicament. There were two spotted hounds, and only one of me. If I was going to make it through this, it would take a bit of finesse and a whole lot of luck. So I held my ground for as long as I could. My legs trembled beneath me as the oversized hyenas approached, but I didn't budge. Instead, I waited until the very last minute, crouched down, and launched myself forward in a ball. Then I rolled past the two creatures as they smashed into each other and went tumbling in opposite directions. While they were still disoriented, I sprang to my feet, dashed over to the spotted hound on the left, and stabbed my sword into the spot where his heart should have been. Unfortunately, my spotted hound anatomy skills were a tad off. The beast let out a howl of agony, but he didn't die. Instead, his yellow eyes filled with rage, and his head snapped toward me with the ferocity of an incoming train. I threw out my sword to block his attack, and the bastard's jaw wrapped around my weapon. Then he whipped back his head and tossed my sea glass sword somewhere off into the grass. Fucking hell. I quickly rolled off the monster's body as his jaws snapped at me once more. And then I pulled my pink stone dagger out from its sheath. I stabbed the spotted hound with swift, precise strikes as he rose back to his feet. But it only seemed to do as much damage as a hammer did against a hummer. The spotted hound snarled with rage as he tried to grab me with his deadly maw. But I was too quick as I leapt back and then stabbed my dagger into his eye with a swift strike. The monster yowled in pain and then lashed out at me with his front paw. The sudden attack caught me off guard, and I felt a sharp pain in my chest as I was tossed backward through the air. I landed in the grass with a sharp thud, and then rolled for what felt like an eternity, before I caught my balance and jumped to my feet. Just as I retained my balance, however, I saw the spotted hound leaping straight for me. Thankfully, I had a crewmate who was watching out for me. A spear came out of nowhere and stabbed into the side of the creature's neck. It yelped as the weapon went all the way through, and then it collapsed onto the ground. The spotted hound's momentum kept it going, and the poor bastard slid to a stop at my feet. I stabbed my dagger through its right eye socket, and put it out of its misery with a wet squelch. Its eye came out with my blade, so I quickly wiped it off onto the grass, before I turned to Honora. Nice shot.
I'm more than just a healer, you know,
the yellow-scaled dragonkin woman noted as she walked up and yanked her spear from the dead creature's neck.
I know. All of you dragonkin women are mighty warriors, whether you claim to be or not.
Then the two of us ran back in the direction of Lazan and Nadir, and saw the Kunag women had their hands completely full. All three of the remaining spotted hounds charged the raccoon women, who sprang over their attackers' bodies like acrobats performing a floor routine.
Come on!
Lazan taunted.
Is that really the fastest you can go?
Even though the multicolor-haired woman seemed to be in good spirits, she had an expression of anxiety on her face. Her eyes were full of fear, and her body trembled every time she landed.
We've got to help them,
Anora said, as she gripped her spear tightly.
If we don't, they're going to be eaten up faster than Ali's pork belly at a feast.
I searched my surroundings for anything I could possibly use as a weapon. My sword was still out here somewhere, but I didn't have time to search for it until we took care of these ugly bastards. Like always, it looked like a bit of improvisation was in order. I snatched up a medium-sized rock from the ground, hauled it back, and then launched it at one of the beasts. The rock slammed into the spotted hound's head, which caused him to yelp in pain, and then slowly turned toward the two of us.
That's right, I muttered under my breath. Come on over. Anora gulped.
Please tell me you have a plan, Dracorax.
Okay, I have a plan.
Run!
Run! Are you serious right now?
Do I look like I'm kidding?
I said as the creature started toward us.
Run!
We both turned and began to tear through the brush, with the monster hot on our tails. Even though both of us were dragonkin, with superhuman agility and speed, I could hear the footfalls of the spotted hound gaining on us quickly.
It's going to catch us!
Anora cried out. Then I got an idea. Toss me your spear, I commanded my healer.
Without a second of hesitation, Anora flung her weapon toward me, and I snatched it out of the sky with my right hand.
Then I spun around, planted the hilt of the spear firmly into the ground, and pointed the deadly tip straight at the incoming beast. The creature realized what I was doing, but it was far too late to stop himself. Dirt and grass flew from the ground where he planted his feet as he skidded toward me, and the beast let out a quick yelp as the spear tip penetrated his skull. The spotted hound's tongue flopped out of its mouth as its eyes rolled back into its head, and then the monster's body went limp. I yanked the spear out of his head and tossed it back to Anora, and then we both ran back to the scene of the battle. Now that there were only two spotted hounds remaining, the tides had turned in Lazan and Nadir's favor. The Kunag women held their stone axes like baseball bats as they stared down their attackers, and the spotted hounds charged at them with a glimmer of murder in their eyes. Lazan slammed the blunt side of her axe into the hound's head and sent him to the ground. Nadir, however, wasn't so fortunate. The raven-haired raccoon woman was just able to get her axe up in time to block the bite of the spotted hound. The monster's weight pinned Nadir to the ground as it whipped its head back and forth to disarm her. But the Kunag woman held tightly to her axe and refused to let go. Anger boiled up from the pit of my stomach and filled me with a white-hot rage. One of my lovers was in danger, as was the baby I put inside of her. That shit wasn't going to fly. I let out a cry of fury as I ran forward, vaulted myself into the air, and landed square on the spotted hound's back. Then I flipped around my dagger and started to plunge it into the back of the monster's neck repeatedly. Each stab created a new wound in the hound's flesh, and every time I pulled my weapon out, it was accompanied by a spray of red mist. The spotted hound suddenly reared back on its hind legs, but I wrapped my hands around its throat and held on for dear life as it bucked like a rodeo bull. Then I heard a wet splurt, and the monster let out a pitiful whimper. He stumbled forward a few steps as a giant pool of blood formed below his body, and then the hound collapsed onto the grass, dead. When I looked up, I saw Nadir with the tip of her axe and her entire body soaked in the hound's blood.
Throat slice,
Nadir explained, as she mimicked her own action.
Not as brutal as I hoped it would be, but delightful nonetheless.
And then there was one. Lazan and Anora were carefully dodging the spotted hound's attacks, but the beast remained relentless. He made passes at the two women without even stopping to catch his breath, and every time they were just barely able to avoid his razor-sharp teeth.
Four against one, I called out as Nadir and I approached.
Go for the assist, Lazan,
Nadir commanded. The multicolor-haired raccoon woman nodded, and then she flipped her axe so she was holding it sideways.
As the creature charged her once more, Lazan crouched down, pulled back her axe, and then swung it forward right as the spotted hound reached her position. The wide side of her stone axe struck the hound's bottom jaw and uppercutted him into the air with a wet snap. The monster's entire bottom jaw fell slack as it was snapped out of place, and he yelped helplessly as he fell back onto his rear. Then Nadir was on him. The raven-haired Kunag woman stabbed her axe into the monster's neck and sent a spray of dark red blood out onto herself and the ground. Her first blow didn't kill the beast, so he began to writhe around in agony as his severed artery spewed out the last bit of his life onto the grass. But Nadir raised her axe again, brought it down, and severed the hound's head clean off its body. She then picked up the monster's head and examined it in her hands before she dropped it and punted it like a football.
Ah! What a rush! Those things weren't half as tough as they looked. You weren't saying that a minute ago when Ben had to save your butt,
Lazan teased, which only drew a dirty look from her leader.
I believe I was the one who killed the beast,
Nadir reminded her friend.
Ben just distracted it for a second.
Speaking of distractions, we need to get back to the others right away. I have no idea how they're holding up against these bastards.
What about your sword, Ben?
Anora asked.
You're going to need that.
Oh, that's right. I grumbled and pointed in the direction I thought I'd lost it. It's somewhere over there. Spread out and see if you can find it. The four of us fanned out over the area and scanned the grassy plains for any sign of the sea glass weapon. And right when I was about to say, fuck it, and give up, Anora let out a sharp gasp.
Here it is, Draco Rex!
The yellow-scaled woman declared as she held my weapon up high. I ran over to her, took the weapon from her hand gently, and then leaned in and gave her a peck on the cheek. Anora's face turned deep red, but her yellow eyes were wide with excitement.
Thank you. I winked at the woman as I sheathed my weapons. Now, let's go help our friends.
The four of us took off back in the direction of the roaring bonfire, and as we approached, we heard the sound of snarling beasts as well as chuffing dragons, yells of frustration, and blasts of fire and water.
Yep, they were still definitely locked in battle with these things. When we arrived on the battlefield, however, my heart dropped into my knees. There were way more spotted hounds here than when we had left. Their numbers had nearly doubled, and I saw that they had my crewmates' backs against the wall.
Mira rode atop Tyrion, who was up in the sky, as he blasted down shots of flame onto the spotted hounds. Meanwhile, the Dragonkin twins were sitting on top of George's back, and the blue-scaled water dragon fired off shot after shot of water blasts at the approaching creatures, which seemed to force them into retreat for only a brief moment. Kandara was in the sky, and she looked like she was about to collapse. Her golden hair was tufted out and unkempt, and her body was covered with bruises and scratches. She was hunched over and breathing heavily as she floated in the sky, and her wings flapped with the bare minimum effort needed to keep her up in the air. My friends were still all in one piece, but right now they were only delaying the inevitable. Well, I whispered to the other three as I crouched down. At least we can take out four of them by surprise, and maybe if we do that, the rest will turn their backs on our friends, and they can flank the bastards. Tyrion, George?
Oh, thank goodness you're all right, dear one,
George responded through labored breaths.
But I'm afraid we are losing this fight. I'm not sure how much longer we can hold them off.
We're going to catch their attention, I explained to the water dragon. Once we do that, you guys take them while their backs are turned.
There are still too many of them,
Tyrion observed. One step at a time, I reminded the silver dragon. We take out as many as we can, and then we go from there. Ready?
Ready!
Both of the dragons responded in unison. All right, I whispered to my friends as we stalked up behind the snarling beasts. On three. One, two, three.
Anora, Lazan, Nadir, and I all took a running jump at the nearest spotted hounds and landed on their backs. Nadir and Lazan both pounded away at their skulls with their stone axes, and soon the hounds' brains were spilled out onto the ground. Anora's approach was much more gracious. She flipped her spearhead down toward the beast while she was still airborne, and her weapon's deadly point stabbed straight through the monster's spinal cord with a wet schlock. Meanwhile, I did something in between. I landed on the spotted hound's back,
flipped my sword around, and then stabbed it multiple times through the monster's neck in a straight, vertical line. The monster's eyes rolled back into his head as he fell forward, and then I hopped off his body and prepared my sword for the next wave. The spotted hounds that had been harassing my friends all turned to face the four of us, and then they crouched down into stalker mode as they began to prowl toward us.
"Now!"
I commanded my dragons. Tyrion lit up two of the hounds like a Christmas tree, and they both yelped in panic as their flesh was turned to crispy bacon and their fur was singed off their bodies. At the same time, one of Nima's arrows stabbed into a creature's back, and then Kandara finished him off with a quick pass-by with her fan blade. However, that was when all chaos broke loose. Now that they were fighting a battle on two fronts, the spotted hounds went into panic mode. They growled and snarled as they ran off in all different directions. But one thing was for sure. They were out for blood.
"What do we do, Ben?"
Anora gasped as five of the creatures charged toward us.
"We take out as many of them as we can. We have to at least try to..."
Before I could finish speaking, the cavalry arrived. Several arrows suddenly stabbed into one of the spotted hounds and turned him into a hairy pincushion. Then one of the oversized ants slammed into another beast and took him to the ground, where a Chera woman finished it off quickly with a slash of her spear sword. Now that there were some new players in the game, the spotted hounds completely disregarded us. They all turned to the charging Chera women, let out a collective howl of a battle cry, and ran toward them at full speed. My crew and I watched in awe as the rhino women completely dominated the fight. Arrows stabbed into the spotted hounds' bodies and took them down as the Chera women made pass after pass at the monsters. At the same time, the warriors without bows got up close and personal with the furry bastards. The oversized ants were quick enough to dodge the creature's blows, and their pinchers were so strong that they could easily catch a hound's leg and hold it in place. Rikuri was all smiles as her aunt snatched up a spotted hound's paw, and the Chera woman severed it away from the creature's body with a spray of blood. Then, as the spotted hound yowled in agony, the ant's pinchers wrapped tightly around its throat, and Rikuri stabbed her spear sword straight between the monster's eyes. One by one, the foul hounds fell, until there were only a handful left. They must have realized this meal was too much of a risk, too, because they soon began to turn and flee with their tails literally tucked between their legs.
"That's right,"
Ashanti taunted the monsters as they ran.
"Run away! We'll slaughter you like dogs if you ever come back here."
"I don't think they can understand what you're saying,"
Rikuri noted with a chuckle.
"Eat of the moment,"
Ashanti shrugged nonchalantly. Finally, the last of the spotted hounds disappeared over the hill, and we were left alone.
"Yes!"
I gasped as I fell down onto my ass and let out a deep sigh.
"We won!"
"We did more than win, Draco Rex,"
Batari announced as she approached atop her aunt.
"We completely destroyed them. I doubt we'll ever have an issue with the spotted hounds again, and it's all thanks to you and your crew."
"You guys are the ones who rode in and saved our asses,"
I reminded the white-haired rhino woman.
"True, but we wouldn't have even been in that position had you not bravely caused a distraction."
"Yeah,"
Ashanti conceded.
"We would have all been dog food if we tried to run to the stables on foot with the entire pack chasing us down."
"Or we would have lost many of our Mirax,"
Zikiyu added.
"Because we would have had to stay close to the fire."
"Honestly,"
Batari admitted,
"it probably would have been a combination of both. We would have lost many of our Mirax and then tried to do something foolish. We owe you our lives, Draco Rex."
"No mention it," I nodded as I sheathed my sword. "It's what friends do."
"Y'all should return to my dwelling and get some rest,"
the white-haired leader offered.
"You certainly earned it."
"Not until we've helped clean up this mess. We can't just leave these corpses lying around, or else it'll attract scavengers and predators to the area. And as bad as those things were, I'm sure there are worse predators out there at night."
"There are,"
Rikuri shuddered.
"Much, much worse."
"Then we need to clear out the bodies. It shouldn't take much. We already got a giant fire to burn them, and if they don't all fit in the flames, then Tyrion can do something about that."
"Unless their bodies could be repurposed?"
Nima suggested.
"Repurposed?"
Rikuri quirked her head.
"How in the world can you repurpose something that's already dead?"
"Lots of ways.
You can harvest their meat, use their hides to make clothing. Sometimes you can even take their teeth and bones and craft them into weapons. That's what we did for Nima's arrows.
Your arrows are made out of dead bodies?
Ashanti asked with wonder in her eyes.
Well, kinda. They're made from the legs of a parasite been killed at sea.
You must teach us your ways,
Ashanti demanded, as she turned to look at me.
Our arrows are still made of stone.
Okay, I shrugged. That won't be too difficult. I'd say we should go around and harvest their teeth. Those could be used to make arrowheads or even small daggers, considering the size of those chompers.
Is there anything else we could take from them?
Mira questioned.
They seem to have nice hides, and I wonder about their meat. Oh, no.
Rikuri shook her head vehemently.
Do not let Baratu get the idea in her head of feeding us spotted hound meat. She already knows I'm a picky eater, but at least I'll give her the benefit of the doubt on most stuff. Hound meat, though? Ugh, no way.
You really shouldn't eat canine meat anyway. I've heard it can make you sicker than... Well, sicker than a dog.
The hide, then.
Mira repeated.
We can at least take the hide.
I don't know what good that'll do,
Batari admitted.
Have you seen how warm it gets around here? Wearing that sort of fur would lead to nothing but overheating and misery. Not for clothes,
the golden-scaled dragonkin warrior clarified.
It'd be for things like satchels and blankets and rugs. It may be very hot during the day, but I've also seen how cold it gets at night. Having the hide of one of these creatures on your bed would go a long way in giving you a good night's sleep.
Batari pondered.
I suppose I've never thought of it as such. We've always made our clothes and tapestries from natural fibers we grow ourselves.
It's a good skill to have, especially when you're out on a long expedition like you were yesterday. If you somehow got lost or cut off from your village, you'd need to know how to survive out in the wilderness.
We already know how to survive in the wilderness,
the white-haired rhino woman scoffed.
We lived like that for several moon cycles when we were first created.
I don't doubt that. I threw up my hands as a peace offering. I'm just saying there's never a better time to learn than the present. So, after a bit of prodding, we convinced the Chero women to skin the hides off the spotted hounds, pull out their teeth, and then burn the bodies. It was somewhat humorous to watch these big, tough rhino women struggle with the process, though we offered up our hands and help whenever we could. Unsurprisingly, Rikuri was the most boorish of the Chero women. She would walk up to the corpse of a spotted hound, pick up its muzzle in her hands, and then violently tear out each tooth one by one. As she plucked them from the beast's gums, she would then drop them into a small pouch on the side of her person, like a gleeful child who was collecting seashells at the beach. Ashanti and Batari were much gentler and more precise with their technique. Both of these women used a small knife to cut out the teeth of the beasts with the utmost care. Honestly, it was like watching a dental surgeon working on the world's dirtiest mouth. Once the teeth of the spotted hounds had been harvested, I showed the Chero women how to skin the beasts, and they watched in awe as I cut open a small portion of its skin, slid my knife between its dermis and its muscle, and then slowly tore it away with the scrape of my blade. Being the amateurs they were, the rhino women struggled on the first few hounds they tried to skin, but once they got around to the second or third beast, they were able to do it like a pro. Or at least a semi-pro. After about an hour or two of detoothing and skinning the creatures, we moved on to the messy part. And we all worked together as we dragged the corpses of the spotted hounds over to the fire pit and tossed them in with a hearty heave. The air around us started to smell like burning flesh and hair, and I suddenly felt a million times better about our decision not to eat these suckers. There was enough room in the fire pit for all of the fallen hounds, and soon their bodies were smoldering away. By morning, there would be nothing left of our assailants but ashes and some charred bones. Whew! I clapped my hands together to signal the work was done. We've had quite the evening.
Quite.
Batari agreed.
I will admit, this has been one of the most eventful festivals I've ever taken part in. I just wish there was some way we could repay you, Draco Rex.
There is. I nodded to the white-haired beauty. You can take us to the hilly plains, the spot where we need to go to hatch our wind dragon egg. Batari's face fell into a frown, and she cautiously looked over at the rest of her subjects.
I don't think that's the best idea,
the Chero leader said.
Are you sure you want a wind dragon anyway? They're very hard to control, and I've heard they're quite mean to their bondmates. What Batari here's trying to say is we think it's probably not in your best interest to go to the hilly plains,
Rikuri interjected. What do you mean? I scoffed and placed my hands on my hips.
That's the whole reason we came here, to hatch our dragon egg.
It's just not a good idea.
Batari shook her head fervently.
All done just a second here.
Mira growled as she stepped forward.
You're telling me we just saved you from all those horrific beasts and then spent hours teaching you how to harvest their resources and you won't help us? It's not that we don't want to help you.
Batari reassured us.
But that's a difficult task, and one I would never ask of any of my friends.
But why? Earlier, Zakiyu here was ready to hop on a Mirak and take us straight there.
I'll admit I may have been a bit overzealous.
Zakiyu spoke up with a sheepish expression.
I get like that sometimes.
So what, then?
Mira scowled.
You want us to just hop back on our boat and get out of here? Because we're sure not doing that. We're staying until we find a way to hatch our dragon egg, whether that's with your help or not. We want to help you.
The white-haired leader promised once more.
We really do, it's just that...
What? What's so bad about taking us to the hilly plains? Batari looked down at the ground, almost as if she felt ashamed with what she was about to say.
To get to the hilly plains, you must pass through the wetlands.
The white-haired rhino woman explained.
Okay.
Mira shrugged.
So what? The wetlands are the home of the Scutawar.
Batari whispered. Seemingly to herself.
Anything that goes in there does not come back alive.
There was a harsh silence for a few seconds as we all processed the Chero's words. I understood where they were coming from. This creature had caused nothing but chaos and destruction for several years, to the point where it was probably the single most powerful entity on this island. It must have been if it was able to kill a bunch of frickin' dragons. Still, we needed to get to those plains. Scutawar or not. There were bigger things at stake right now. If we didn't hatch this egg, we would be unprepared the next time we were attacked by orcs and whatever surprises they had hidden up their sleeves. We also wouldn't be able to stop them from finding the other fire-breathing dragons, rebonding with them, and then using them to bring about even more chaos and destruction in the world. The Scutawar may have been the plague of this island, but the orcs were the plague of the world. And the only antidote required us to hatch this egg. Then we'll just have to kill the Scutawar, I proclaimed, and shocked murmurs moved through the crowd of Chero women.
Draco Rex,
Zamway stepped forward.
I'm not sure you heard Batari correctly. The Scutawar is the holy terror of this land, one that single-handedly brought down an army of land dragons and has nearly wiped out the entire population of animals on this island. Anyone who goes against him goes against death itself.
Well, he hasn't faced me and my crew yet. Nobody had defeated Rikuri in battle yet before we got here, yet I was able to. You didn't think it was possible to defeat a spotted hound without your Mirax, yet my friends and I took out several of them before the cavalry showed up.
You are a brave and cunning warrior, Draco Rex.
Batari allowed.
But you will be no match against the Scutawar. Nobody is.
There's only one way to find out if that's true. I admitted with a shrug. Tell you what, I'll cut you a deal. My friends and I kill the Scutawar for you, and then you take us through to the hilly plains and teach us how to incubate this egg. How does that sound? The Chero women all stared at me like I had a third eye, but I just shrugged. It was the best deal I had to offer. Finally, after the women were allowed to recompose their thoughts, Rikuri stepped forward.
I'll take you to the hilly plains, Draco Rex,
she announced in her gruff voice.
You've won over my respect as a fighter, as well as a leader, and the least I can do is act as your loyal guide on a mission of your request.
Are you crazy?
Ashanti gasped and slapped Rikuri on the shoulder.
This is practically a suicide mission.
Maybe I am.
The dark-haired rhino woman mused.
And maybe it is. It's going to be purely chaotic either way.
Ashanti raised her eyebrows at the warrior woman's words, and then she started to stroke her chin deep in thought.
Fine.
The Chero archer finally sighed.
I guess I'm in too. You're both crazy.
Batari laughed and shook her head.
Aw, you already knew that, though.
Rikuri winked at her leader.
You should come too, Batari.
Ashanti offered.
It would be just like the good old days when the three of us would go off on some crazy adventure and leave all our duties and responsibilities behind.
Those times have passed, I'm afraid.
The white-haired woman shook her head.
I'm the leader of our people. I can't just go running off on a foolish adventure at the drop of a spearhead.
Especially one I don't think any of us will be coming back from. My people need me, Ashanti. We need you too.
Rikuri reminded the leader.
You're the heart of our trio.
I could tell by Batari's expression that her friend's words got to her. The Chero leader hung her head in sorrow, rolled her shoulders, and let out a deep sigh.
I can't.
She repeated once more.
My people need me here. Suit yourself.
Ashanti shrugged as she began to wander away on her end.
Rikuri and I have already made up our minds. We'll leave tomorrow at the first break of day. If you decide to join us, wonderful. If not, then I guess we'll see you when we get back. Does this work for you, Draco Rex?
The first break of day? Is that like right when sun comes up?
When the first tiny bit of light shines across our village.
Ashanti elaborated with a smirk.
When a pinprick cuts through the darkness and lands on your nose like a fly in the latrine, we will head out.
Lovely visual, I grumbled, though I was amused by her analogy.
I don't know what you're complaining about.
Nadir shrugged.
We'll be up way before that.
That's because you're partially nocturnal.
Kandara reminded them.
Seriously?
Mira added.
When do you two even sleep? We get plenty of sleep.
Lazan crossed her arms across her busty chest.
A full 3 hours every night.
3 hours?
Tyrion gasped, even though he knew she couldn't hear them.
How are you standing up right now? If I get any less than 8 wonderful undisturbed hours, I'm a cranky dragon.
Are you sure you're not sleepwalking right now?
Mira joked, and then she waved her hand in front of the Kunag women.
The first break of day.
Rikuri repeated, as she shifted atop her Mirak.
We shall see you then, Draco Rex.
The dark-haired rhino woman let out a
Yah!
And then her aunt began to gallop with the speed of a Clydesdale. Ashanti whistled at her Mirak, who responded with a soft, gurgled snort. And the next thing we knew, the three-horned Chero galloped off into the distance after her friend.
You should follow their lead,
Batari announced to the rest of her subjects.
We've had a long, hard night, so you should try to get some sleep. Yes, Queen Mother.
Zamwe bowed, as did the many other nameless Chero women behind her. Then they all turned away and cautiously shuffled back toward the cluster of huts. That just left Batari, my crew, and myself left around the roaring fire.
We should probably slumber as well.
Batari nodded.
It is late, and I personally am beyond exhausted.
Shall I put out the fire? Ask her if I should put out the fire.
George wants to know if we should kill the bonfire. I asked, as I pointed at the flames with my thumb. Batari just shook her head.
Not unless you want other predators snooping around our huts.
Man, our island was pretty dangerous with all of its jungle cats and bizarre sea creatures, but this place took danger to new levels. It felt like you couldn't even sleep here without an armed guard, and as we'd just discovered, sometimes that wasn't even enough. Okay, let's turn in. You're right, it's been a long day, and I have a feeling tomorrow is going to be even longer. Batari led us back toward the suburbs of the Chero village, and once we got closer to our destination, Tyrion and George broke off and headed over the hill to their sleeping quarters. We arrived at Batari's large dwelling, so the rhino woman popped open the door and motioned for us all to go inside. I allowed all of my crewmates in first before I went to step through the threshold and go to bed. However, before I could enter the hut, I was stopped by Batari's arm. The Chero woman looked me over with her deep, dark eyes as she held her arm between myself and the door.
Not yet, Draco Rex.
Batari shook her head.
I need to talk to you.
Instantly, I felt a strange knot form inside my stomach. I'd heard the phrase, I need to talk to you, way too many times, and I knew it could go either one of two ways. This was either a really great thing or something truly terrible. Either way, it was going to make for an interesting evening.